Before we get into the show today, I want to wish a happy 98th birthday to Joe Lindsay. My buddy is a huge fan of WKXL, listens constantly, and he owned Capital Dodge back in the day. World War II veteran and a great supporter of WKXL for many, many years. Happy 98th birthday to Joe Lindsay.
This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
And welcome to the Press Pass here on KXL 159, 1450 and NHTalkRadio.com. The Press Pass is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. Riverbend wants you to know the treatment works. For more information, check out RiverbendCMHC.org. Appreciate you joining us for the program. I am Chris Ryan. So the Patriots once again find themselves in a holding pattern, not knowing if they're going to play the Denver Broncos this weekend, as another reported COVID-19 positive case shut down practice on Friday for the New England Patriots. Patriots were there, ready to practice, but the positive test canceled practice and media availabilities of Julian Edelman and several other players that were scheduled to take place after practice and this afternoon here as we do the show on Friday. So, certainly in doubt as to whether the Patriots and Broncos will be playing, and we'll pass along more information when we get that to you. But the last 2 weeks have been chaos for the Patriots, not knowing what's going to be taking place from hour to hour, as Coach Belichick has said. Both Cam Newton and Steph Gilmore returned to the practice field for the Patriots on Thursday. Those were the two prominent COVID-19 cases for the Pats, and they did have a full pad practice on Thursday. Friday they were set to practice, but it did not take place. Bill Belichick met with the media twice this week, including on Tuesday, in which Dan Roach asked him about how challenging this has been, and I talked with the head coach as well.
Hey, Bill, good morning.
Hey, Dan.
Just a thought on as a coach and maybe as the players. So part of sports, part of what you guys do is a lot of communication and maybe a lot of extra work after practice and, you know, adjustments in teaching and things like that. How have you been able to adjust, or how difficult has it been during, especially what you're going through now, for the coaches to say, you know, hey, I see little things that this guy's doing, or even amongst yourselves to have the conversations you need to have as a coaching staff to make the adjustments and to teach and to do the things that you do during this time?
Well, Dan, I think that's it's a good observation, but I think we try to do what we've been doing. We try to, you know, be thorough in the breakdown of, you know, our plays and the fundamentals that we use on each play and communicate those to the players. Some of it's been, you know, more virtually, some of it's been in, you know, position meetings, that kind of thing. I'd say we've probably had overall more individual meetings this year than we've had historically in the past to try to, you know, separate and distance. But that allows, the good part of that is it allows more individual and direct communication between the coach and his players. You know, the downside of that is there's a little bit less overall, you know, communication and, you know, total understanding of everything that's happening, because you don't hear other coaches tell the players beside you or in front of you or behind you what they're doing and where it all kind of ties together. You rely on your position coach to do that, and our coaches do a good job of that. But I'd say it's probably the individual coaching hasn't been might even be more than what it's been in the past. I would say the overall team meetings and team coaching or team you know, group, whether it's film or installation or you know, game planning, game plan adjustments, so forth, probably a little bit less than in the past. Again, that's kind of the trade-off, but that's what we've tried to do. We've tried to make the meetings smaller, which are definitely better on the virtual end of it when we had those in the spring, but carrying over into training camp and the season, there's been probably a little more of that than what there's been in the past in terms of the in-person meetings. So I think the individual corrections are definitely getting made. And like I said, maybe more, a little more than in the past. I'd say it's some of the bringing together some of the overall things we could use a little more time on that, but we're just trying to, handle them with the way that we're set up so that we're, not spending more time together than we feel like it's really necessary. But it's a balance. It's a great question. It's a balance, something we've talked about, and, maybe we have the right mix, maybe we don't, but that's something that we're aware of, and we want to try to, as I said, use our time as efficiently as we can to get everything covered.
Good morning, Bill. Building on Roche's question a little bit, how would you, define what this challenge has been like, for you personally, having built, such a structure of communication and consistency? To have everything kind of thrown into chaos over the last few weeks, has it been just that for you, or have you been looking to try to figure out how to make this situation work, and have you gotten some benefit from that?
Again, every year is different, and every situation is a little bit different. I mean, we've had long weeks, we've had short weeks. We've had things we've had to adjust to in the past. This year's adjustments, as I said, started back in the spring. So it's not like all this got thrown on us, in the last week or two. So all the virtual meetings, the distancing, the, lack of spring and so forth. We've just adjusted to it the best that we can. Not saying it's perfect, and there's always room for improvement. We're constantly evaluating what we're doing to try to get the most out of it. But the players have been very cooperative. The players have also given us good feedback as to what they feel like is beneficial, what's working for them, and so we've made some adjustments from that feedback, as well as just constant communication on the coaching staff. Where one coach or one group of coaches might talk about something that's, effective for them. And then other groups or another position coach will try that as well and get the feedback from his players and things like that. So I think we've learned a lot. We're trying to find ways to teach and communicate and operate better and as efficiently as possible. I'm not sure that we're there yet. I'm sure we'll see other things as we go along. Through the course of the season, but I don't feel like when we walk out on the field for a game that we're, there's a lot of gaps in our preparation or in, the team being ready to go. There are always things after every game that you can do better. I'm not saying that, but I don't feel like when we walk out there, we're just, void of being able to cover or do certain things. So we'll just keep doing the best we can, and if we have to make other adjustments, then we'll make them and try to figure out how to make the most out of our time and our opportunities.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
All right, Bill Belichick right there. I also talked with the Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels today here on Friday prior to the Patriots shutting things down in Foxborough. Hi, Josh. There's a feeling, and it's pretty obvious through the years that Julian Edelman's assets meshed perfectly with what Tom did as a quarterback. How do you see his assets meshing with what Cam does and his skill set in that realm?
Julian can mesh really with anybody. Because he's a good football player. So I just think what you choose to do with players based on what your offense is becoming or what you do best, that could change or shift based on, whether it's the quarterback, the offensive line, a group of receivers, whatever it may be. But I think Julian has had chemistry with every quarterback that he's played with. He's played with Tom, he's played with Brian, he's played with Jimmy, he's played with Jacoby, he's played with Cam. I mean, he's played with a lot of different guys here. I know certainly Tom more than the rest, but he hasn't had a hard time producing when he's been in with other guys because he does a lot of things well. And so we trust him to continue to do that. I know he and Cam have a good working relationship in terms of what they can do with each other on the field. And, you know, we're still in the infancy stages of the season. You know, we're still building and growing as an offensive unit. We're still trying to figure out exactly what we may be able to become and how we got to work to get there. And Julian will certainly be a part of that with Cam as we go, you know, and kind of evolve in our passing game.
Along those lines, what do you see from N'Keal Harry this early in the season, and what growth have you seen from him in particular?
N'Keal works. He's worked really hard. He continues to work really hard at his craft, and you know he's in his second year, so he understands the offense more. He understands what to expect on the other side of the ball. He's playing more positions, you know, and he just works to try to improve every week. And so, you know, he's blocked. He's been very unselfish. He's been very physical in terms of what he can do and help us in the running game. And then he's also, you know, made an impact with some plays in the passing game. So, again, it's nothing's where it's going to hopefully eventually be with any of our guys yet. And so we're going to continue to work hard with them. I know N'Keal's putting a lot of time and effort in to continue to improve as we move forward.
We'll hear from some of the players when we return. This is the Press Pass here on KXL 1-9, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. Coming up, we'll hear from Chase Winovich as well as N'Keal Harry. Adrian Phillips, whose wife is a doctor, on what COVID-19 has been like in this environment for the Patriots. And we'll also hear from Rex Burkhead and Jonathan Jones. This is the Press Pass here on KXL 1-9, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. The Press Pass is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. This is the Press Pass here on KXL 1-9, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. I am Chris Ryan. Patriots and Broncos in a holding pattern as we do the show here on Friday night. It was first postponed by a day last weekend, and then the game was pushed back an additional week. Now we don't know if the Patriots and Broncos are going to play this upcoming Sunday after a reported COVID-19 positive test at the Patriots facility, and that's putting things once again in a holding pattern. Cam Newton and Steph Gilmore were back on the practice field for the Patriots on Thursday, where they had a full padded practice, and I talked with a number of the Patriots players on that day, including Patriots running back Rex Burkhead. Hey, Rex, I hope all is well with you. Obviously, there was an assumed risk on each player's part in playing this season, and the hope was that that risk could be mitigated by Patriots and the NFL. I'm curious as to, now that you've gone through the experience where there has been COVID with the team, what has been the level of care that you've noticed from the Patriots, and do you feel better now about, you know, what's going to take place if there's more circumstances?
Yeah, the Patriots have been great. Like I said earlier, just in constant communication with us on if we feel like there's anything, you know, we feel like that could possibly be safer. And it's been, you know, every single day, you know, we've been meeting about it. Guys have asked questions, just making sure everyone feels safe as possible. And like you said, everyone knows that there's risk. There's risk, you know, when we began training camp. And so just understanding that and making sure we're all on the same page has definitely been, you know, something we've talked about every single day.
As a follow-up, Coach Belichick mentioned yesterday that there's a lot of individualized meetings taking place, and perhaps more so than in the past, with players focusing on specific aspects of themselves. And for you, what has that been like, and what have you gained from this type of experience where there's more of a focus on the individual player?
Yeah, just, you know, trying to do what I can, whether that be as a leader, you know, being in my eighth year now, an older guy in the position group, and You know, just being able to communicate with the guys on the team of what we should be doing, how we should be preparing physically if we're not to be able to go at the stadium, and mentally as well, just making sure we're focused and locked in on our ultimate goal. And we know this season things can constantly change, but as long as we're on the same page and understand every single day that we have a goal that we want to attain, then I think that's beneficial and huge for our team.
Thanks, Rex.
Absolutely.
Patriots veteran right there, Rex Burkhead, also talked with Patriots wide receiver N'Keal Harry. Hey, N'Keal, good to see you. Just wondering what the last, you know, 2 weeks have been like for you and all this instability that's kind of surrounded the team. What's it been like, and how have you kind of gotten through some of that instability with the group?
You know, it's been a little bit different, a little bit unusual, you know, just having to do virtual a lot and, you know, not being in person. But at the same time, it's no excuse. Coaches have been doing a great job making sure we stayed ready for the Broncos. We're staying ready for the Broncos. So even though it's a little bit different, the focus has still been there.
Chase Winovich was mentioned there's been a lot of introspection for him and some time to kind of take a step back. And Coach Belichick was mentioning that there's been a lot of individualized aspects of video. And I'm curious for you, you know, have you been able to evaluate and think about what's gone well, not gone well so far this year during this time period, and what have you seen?
Yeah, definitely. For me, it's not too different. You know, I think a lot after games, whether we're doing Zoom calls or we're in person, you know, I'm always thinking about the game. As soon as the game's over with, I'm automatically start thinking about it. I can't sleep too much on the plane because I'm always just thinking about the game and thinking of stuff I can do better, stuff I did pretty well, and you know, just thinking of stuff that could help me improve. So the way I've been thinking hasn't been too much different.
Patriots defensive back Jonathan Jones was happy to see Steph Gilmore and Cam Newton back on the practice field.
Yeah, it's definitely been a lot of uncertainty in the last couple of weeks, but just dealing with things. I think everyone's kind of staying together as a team and just trying to take it day by day. And like I said, just trying to get ready to play football. I think that's the main focus. Everybody's ready for that. And to be out there today felt good. Like I said, kind of get some normalcy and just get back to action.
Thanks, John. Enjoy paradise.
Thanks.
And next we're going to Chris Ryan and Mark Daniels.
Hey, Jonathan, just what was it like to see Cam back out there today and Steph, and how close were you able to keep in contact with those guys during their quarantine process?
I mean, it felt good. It felt good to have everybody back there as a team. Like I said, just to get out there today and practice. You miss having those guys out there. They're a big part of what we do. So just having them out there today definitely felt different. And definitely got to check in with Steph a good bit while he was in quarantine. Tried to keep him company through text messages.
That's cool. And just a football question, too, on Drew Lock. It looks like he's going to be back for the Broncos this week in his second year with Denver. What impresses you about him and that offense as a whole?
He definitely athleticism. You know, he's an athlete. He's a competitor. You can see it on film. And their offense, they've done a good job of replacing Sutton. I don't know if you replace a player like him, but, you know, a lot of their receivers, you know, stepping up and kind of filling his void from last year. And they just have a good offense. They don't have, like, one guy in their offense that, you know, you can hone in and try to stop. And I think that kind of makes him a little bit more dangerous.
You know, a guy that I think really has a chance to be a star in the league for the Patriots is Chase Winovich. I enjoy how introspective he is. And here is part of the conversation Chase Winovich had with the media, including myself on Thursday. Hey, Chase, just curious as to how you evaluate what the last 10 or so days has been like. Obviously, getting back on the practice field today and not knowing when there's such consistency to what you do, what the team does. What has that been like as a group, and what have you perhaps gained from this experience?
You're talking about COVID in general and just like the last few weeks?
Exactly.
I'd say something that's pretty interesting dynamic. I'd say COVID's definitely allowed me to spend a lot more time at home. I've definitely got to kind of unwind and just unpack the first part of the season. And I feel like anytime you deal with, especially a job as stressful, sometimes people are going to laugh when I say that. I feel like there's certain stressors that just being a football player in the NFL, you know, kind of present itself. And I don't mean that to sound ungrateful, but rather just, you know, having a second, which is essentially what the bye week in my mind is for, you know, to really unpack those, untangle those mental knots and just really get yourself focused for the last push. That's what I try to do. And I'm feeling great. I'm feeling motivated. And I'm looking forward to this this last, you know, 12 games.
As a follow-up to that, how do you go about trying to, you know, maximize your potential and do everything to get there, but also not putting too much pressure on yourself? Because it seems like that's what you're talking about a little bit in terms of, you know, the stress of trying to be great, trying to be perfect. How do you balance those two? And at times, do you need to take a step away?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it definitely is a balance, and sometimes they can work hand in hand. Sometimes stepping away, you know, there's a quote, you know, more is or less is more, and Coach Harbaugh always used to say, no, more is more. But sometimes, you know, take less is more in the sense, this is a pretzel. Let me restart this one. I just want to say that sometimes taking a step back is actually, you know, advances you in a way, and not take a step back in a sense of like, okay, we're going to take this off, take a step back and really reflect and dive in. I feel like a lot of times, like, deep seated emotional, mental problems, or even problems of the soul, require serious introspection and, you know, flush them out and just make sure, your priorities and your focus are aligned properly. And, you know, you're going on the offensive, I'd say mentally and physically and emotionally and not caught on your heels. It's an important time for sure.
Thanks, Chase. Adrian Phillips has really stepped up and been a nice acquisition from the Patriots. He's listed as a safety, a defensive back, but he's played a lot of linebacker really this year for the Patriots. Here is Adrian Phillips.
Yeah, I think the main thing that you wanted to see from your coach is that, like, you're not just a player. You're a human being. You have a family. You know, you have feelings, and certain situations might make you react a certain way. And, you know, seeing that coach actually he actually notices that, and he cares about the family and tries to make it as much family oriented as he can, and lets his players have a voice. You know, it's encouraging to see. So when you have a person who tests positive on a team, and it doesn't matter who it is, and he just says, okay, we're going to shut the whole thing down, that shows that he cares about you as a person and not just about the wins and losses.
Hey, AP, there's a perception, I would say, about the Patriots from outside the organization that it is kind of a win-at-all-costs type of mentality. And has that mentality shifted given how Coach Belichick has approached COVID-19 and, as you mentioned before, been very concerned with you as individuals and humans and that circumstance?
You know, I wasn't here before, so I really can't answer to how it's been before. But I will say, on the outside looking in, it did seem like it was win at all costs. And even when you get here, like, I'm noticing, like, everybody wants to win, and that's all 32 teams around the league. You know, it's just, what are you willing to do to get your team to that W? And with the whole COVID situation, you know, it's he's not. You could tell that coach isn't willing to sell out his own team, put his team at risk just to get a win. And I don't know how the other 31 teams are acting, but I would expect their coaches to be the same exact way. I mean, we're people. We have families, so it's definitely the mindset that we're gonna do what we have to do to win, but we're gonna do it safely. We're not gonna be out here being stupid and be reckless. Like, we follow the guidelines. We make sure that we're doing everything right, and we don't want to be the team that breaks the rules. So, it is win at all costs, but it's do it the right way.
As a follow-up, you mentioned your wife is a doctor, and a lot of times, you know, we kind of all adapt that WebMD type of mentality where, you know, we're starting to experience symptoms where they may not exist, looking things up. Has there been that type of feeling amongst the guys, or has there been a trust in the fact that you are adhering to the guidelines, you are doing you know, the right thing, or has there been a real concern about the potential for COVID?
Well, I mean, the thing with COVID is we're still learning about it every day. So, you know, we kind of understand how the virus is being contracted between people, but you don't know everything about it. So guys are following the rules. The main thing that you can do is just, like, do what you're supposed to. Wear your mask, you know, wash your hands, stay 6 feet apart from people. If you do what you're supposed to, then it'll limit the chances of you getting it. So, you know, sometimes guys are worried when you have those outbreaks because, you know, when a teammate gets it and, you know, you're in the locker room together, you don't know how the virus spreads. You know a little bit about it, but you just really don't understand a whole lot about it. And you know, the pattern that the virus takes is something that we're still trying to figure out. So guys get concerned sometimes, but that's when they ask questions. And, you know, coach has an open door policy. Our doctors have an open door policy. If they have any concerns or any suggestions that we feel like will be good, we just bring it up to them.
So we shall see what we shall see if the Patriots, in fact, do play this weekend against the Broncos. Patriots at 2-2, the Broncos at 1-3. Really a pivotal game for the Patriots, as this is one of those games they need to win. They have challenging contests coming up against the Baltimore Ravens. They still have to play the Buffalo Bills twice. They go to L.A. to take on the Rams and the Chargers. But thankfully, the Patriots still do play in the AFC East, which means two games against the New York Jets and another one against the Miami Dolphins. You're listening to The Press Pass on KXL, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. This is the Press Pass here on KXL, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. This segment of the show is brought to you by Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first and has since 1951. For information, visit prescription-center.com. Dave D'Onofrio joins me right now from boston.com. Bill Belichick has described the Patriots' COVID-19 situation as hour by hour, and again, that is the case here on Friday, as the Patriots have another positive test, canceled practice. Dave, what have been your takeaways with how the Patriots and, you know, in particular, the NFL has handled this? What were your takeaways from, you know, the way the Patriots have handled this, the way the NFL has handled it, and the likelihood that we will see the Patriots and the Broncos at 1 p.m. on Sunday?
My biggest takeaway is just the inconsistency. I'm of the belief that with a lot of this stuff and the way things are unfolding, we need to take it case by case. I get that. But when you're an enterprise as big as the NFL and as predictable as this was, where you have so many guys, you're not in a bubble, this was going to happen. There were going to be, you know, mini outbreaks in the case of the Titans, sort of a rolling thing like we saw with the Patriots. And then across the league, we've seen other sort of sporadic cases here and there. I would have just expected that they had a better plan. Instead, it seems to be on the fly, inconsistent, changing week to week. Seems like there's a new memo each time, down to the point where, you know, this week coaches were told they couldn't wear visors, where for 4 weeks they've been doing that in a lot of cases. So that's my biggest takeaway, is the NFL does not have as much of a plan as I would have thought. Maybe that's a little arrogance on their part, but I think that bleeds into the Patriots side of things too, because I think the Patriots have identified that, and they've seen how they've been treated in their situation, where, you know, 1 week they're told, okay, your quarterback tested positive 2 days ago. We're going to delay it by 1 day. You're going to get on a plane, fly there, fly back on the same day. The next week, you know, your facility is shut down for a period of time. And then all of a sudden the game is essentially, you know, push back 7 days because you get one case on the day before you're supposed to play. So I can see the players' frustrations in that, you know, they want to worry about their safety, I'm sure, first and foremost. And it's hard to feel safe when the people who are making the decisions that are supposed to be keeping you safe seem to have little idea as to how they're going to do that.
Yeah, I think James White and Jason McCourty got that game pushed back to this Sunday, to be quite honest. You know, Jason McCourty, in his comments with the media on Saturday about, you know, he didn't feel that the NFL and the NFL Players Association cared enough about the players' safety in this instance. And then James White with an emoji on Saturday with the Saturday with the Schefter. Was it Saturday or Sunday? I can't remember. I think it was Sunday with the Schefter report. They were just going to push the game back a day, and they're continuing to try to play it. And I think that you know, they were worried about what the circumstance is going to be from a PR perspective. I don't know if they were worried about it from a safety perspective. You know, Schefter's pretty in tune with things, and I think that you know, the NFL was probably just looking at trying to stall another day and see if they could get the game played. And you know, that just doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense for the Patriots to be on that flight to Kansas City, as you referenced. Given the incubation period, these are things that are well known by, you know, just about anybody at this point in time about how COVID-19 works. And, you know, it was fortunate that the Patriots did not, you know, cause this to spread to the Kansas City Chiefs, that it did not spread, you know, amongst the Patriots. And we're also learning that there's, you know, not a lot of consistency in regards to the virus, right? I mean, you would expect that if, you know, Patriots players without masks are standing side by side with Chiefs players and their teammates, you know, through the course of that game on, you know, Monday night, now almost 2 weeks ago, that there would be more of a spread than there was. Thankfully, you know, there isn't. So, you know, we're continuing to learn about the virus as well. And in circumstances where you would think that it would spread, given that Steph Gilmore appeared to not have it during that time period because he did not test for it. But at times, again, the testing is, you know, inconsistent. There's a lot of variables with this, and that's what we are learning. And the more that you learn, kind of the more frustrated you get. And in a lot of cases, that's the a metaphor for life. But yeah, I think that's it's exciting. The Patriots are going to get back on the field this weekend. It's exciting that Cam Newton is going to be able to be there for the Pats. And you know, on the football side of things, I think that this is getting to a place where the Patriots are going to have a very big performance on Sunday. They have had, you know, a unintentional bye week here. As said, the Broncos, both teams are going to be healthier. The Broncos are 1-3 and have only beaten the Jets. Not a great team. Patriots are 2-2. They really need this game. And, you know, this to me has all the makings of a Patriots blowout.
Yeah, this is the type of game where the Patriots, they need to win these ones if they're going to be, you know, if they're going to compete with the Bills for the AFC East. They need to win the games they're supposed to, and this is certainly a game that they're supposed to win. They've played Seattle tough. They've played Kansas City tough. That's a good sign, but if you don't take care of business in the games that you are supposed to win against the Broncos or against Miami, I'll give them credit for that Raiders win a little more than that, but you need to take care of business in these other games, because that's how you build up the 7 or 8 wins that are going to get you in contention. And then from there, it's just a matter of, you know, you probably have to take one from the Bills. You probably have to win, you know, one of the games out in LA. You probably have to win a game against a team like the 49ers, who are dealing with a lot of injuries. That's what it's going to take. But if you don't get these ones, these easier ones under your belt and out of the way and on your record, you know, that's where the Patriots of years past never really faltered. And now we see if they can continue that with Cam Newton behind center.
And I think they do. I feel really good about this Patriots team at this point. I know they're, you know, 2-2, but you mentioned the couple losses that they have, and you know, you feel good about those two games. The Raiders are a really good team, and they were able to handle them in Foxborough. And that, to me, that game, the Seahawks game, stand out. The Chiefs game, I just cast that aside, given the circumstances and playing without Cam Newton. But you can certainly look at it and say, if Cam Newton plays in that game, there's a good chance the Patriots win. And particularly given what happened last week with the Chiefs and the Raiders. So you look at how teams are playing against one another, how the Patriots have fared against them. You're 2-2, but you're really okay with that given the massive amount of change that's taken place. And you also like what, you know, Adrian Phillips has brought on the defensive side of the football. You like the steps forward that Chase Winovich has had as well. And you're starting to feel a little bit better about a defense where you lost so many great players. And you're starting to see, you know, Belichick's plan for that defense. But again, this is a huge game to see it come to fruition. If they lose this game, then you're going and trending in the other direction. The Patriots do have a very difficult schedule, as you referenced, but thankfully they play in the AFC East, which includes two games against the Jets and another one against the Dolphins. So now the Patriots are going to be a playoff team. The question is, where do they fall in the upper echelons of the AFC? You know where the Chiefs are going to be at, you know where the Ravens are going to be at, and you know where it looks like the Bills are going to be at, and you still have three games against the Bills and Ravens. So one against the Ravens, two against the Bills. And you referenced having to go and play the Rams. Rams are a really good team. Chargers are okay. But then you have the Texans, the Cardinals are not. So you know it breaks down to it'll be difficult given the schedule for the Patriots to be anything other than, you know, on the low side, 9-7. But as we've talked about, I think this is a 10-6 football team, given the fact they play in the AFC East. Now, can they improve that to 12-4? That's what's going to be seen over the next eight games. Does the potential exist for them to be 12-4 this year? It certainly does. You split against the Bills, as you mentioned. You lose to the Ravens, most likely. And then you have to win at both times out in LA against the Chargers and the Rams, and the potential exists for, you know, for that. So 12-4 on the high side, 10-6, I would say, is where they'll likely end up. 11-5, 9-7 on the low side.
Yeah, and what's interesting this year, you mentioned the AFC East, and I agree with you. The Jets are pathetic, and the Dolphins are still not there. So you split with the Bills and you know, that could give you a 5-1 record in the division. Mm-hmm. That looks really good. But I just look at the AFC in general, and that's where my question is about, like, where this team stacks up. I don't think they're as good as the Chiefs. I'm not sure at this point they're as good as the Bills. I don't think they're as good as the Ravens. The Steelers are looking excellent. That's another team. And then the Titans, I think it's hard not to be impressed with what they did after their long layoff, right, and lack of practices. They're undefeated. And they beat you in the playoffs last year. So that's, what's that, five teams if you count the Bills ahead of the Patriots. Good news for them is there's seven playoff teams instead of six this year. So I do expect them to be in it as a wild card. That's why I keep the focus on the Bills if I'm them. I think you have a better chance of catching the Bills than you do sort of trying to compete with those other teams. If you can get yourself in a playoff where it's, you know, 1 week, one game, 60 minutes of football, and you can try and, you know, come up with a better scheme, better game plan, I think you take your chances with Belichick. But looking at the 16-game season, assuming that we have a 16-game season, I think that there are still a number of teams that I consider to be clearly ahead of the Patriots. And as much as I think 12-4 is on the table, I'm still thinking 8-8 is on the table as well. So, like I said, you got to take care of the ones that are layups. I consider this Sunday a layup. And then we'll go from there.
I'm still not sold on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And I'm going to have to see more in order for that to take place. They're 4-1, but you look at their point differential. They're underwater, -3. And I don't feel great about that team until I see something different. I mean, the Browns are at 4-1, too. Same thing. Until I see otherwise, I think the Patriots are ahead of them. Steelers, same thing. The only teams that I am convinced that are ahead of the Patriots at this point are the Chiefs and the Ravens. The potential exists for the Bills to be ahead of them. The potential exists for the Steelers to be ahead of them. The Raiders are at 3-2, and obviously very impressive in that win at Kansas City, but the Patriots beat them earlier this year. To me, you know, the Ravens and the Chiefs are in a separate group. And then you have these other teams, the Bills, the Patriots, the Steelers, the Browns, the Raiders, all in that group. And until the Bills prove it to me, until the Steelers prove it to me, until the Browns prove it to me, you know, I'm not there. You know, you look at the Ravens' point differentials, plus 73 so far this year. That is off the charts, and that includes a loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. So those two teams are elite football teams. And then, you know, the Titans are there, certainly as well. But I still see them just a little bit below, perhaps ahead of the Patriots. And then you have, you know, the Bills, the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Raiders.
Yeah, and I didn't mention the Browns, but they're looking good. That's a team. I think the Raiders are in the same mix where we see these teams in these positions in October a lot. And, you know, Patriots for 20 years have been telling us the season starts after Thanksgiving. And I think in there's a lot of truth to that when you look at teams like the Browns, and because they play in a division with the Raiders, with the Steelers and the Ravens. So they've got, you know, a tough slate there. The Raiders, the Chargers are no pushover. They have to play them, yeah. The Chiefs. It's a difficult division. Then we're not even talking about a team like Indy, which, you know, has a lot of talent. Phillip Rivers, I think, was a questionable signing. But the AFC in general, it's been nice for Patriots fans to sort of see it from the perch and just worry about the Peyton Mannings and the Pat Mahomes and worry about who's that one team you're going to face in the AFC championship game. This year is different for a number of reasons, including you got to start looking at those wild card possibilities and a win like a win over the Raiders. All of a sudden you're looking at it like not just a good win, but a potential tiebreaker. So it's different waters that we're wading through, but I think you're right. I think the Patriots belong in that second tier conversation right now. I just personally think they still need to prove it to me.
I think that's fair. And you look at it, there's basically nine playoff caliber teams for those seven spots. And the Patriots are in that group. And I think that the AFC is better than the NFC this year. You look at, you know, the NFC has two elite teams, in my view, in the Seahawks and the Rams. And you know, the Saints are good. The Buccaneers, I'm still not quite sure what to make of them at this point. And you know, the Panthers, not sure to make them. The NFC East is an absolute joke. And then the Packers are 4-0, but you know, we'll see with them. I think that matchup against the Buccaneers, which everybody's going to be watching here in New England at 4:25 on Sunday, is going to be appointment television. And we'll see, you know, where the Packers are after that game, and the Bears at 4-1. But to me, there's two elite teams in the NFC, in the Seahawks and the Rams, and I feel they're both behind the two elite teams in, you know, the AFC. And then you go to the middle of the pack on down, and there's just no argument. The NFC doesn't even really get in the same realm as the AFC at this point.
Yeah, even a team like the Bears, they're 4-1, but they have a really sad offense.
Yeah.
We've seen the flaws. All of us who've been watching the Bucks for 5 weeks now have seen the flaws in that team from a discipline perspective. The Saints have not looked good.
The Bucks are 3-2, and they don't feel like a good team. They don't. They don't. You watch them, and this is not a good team. This is an okay team. It's not a good team.
No, and then you look at a team like the Vikings, who could make some noise, but then again, the Packers look good, so they have to get over the Packers and the Bears in that division. The East is sort of off the map at this point. It's if the Patriots were in the NFC, I'll put it this way. If the Patriots were in the NFC, I would have zero doubt about their playoff chances, because even if they didn't win the division, and they would clearly win the NFC East, even if they didn't do that, they're better than those middle teams. Even I think, you know, in a week like they went to Kansas City without Cam Newton, they would roll over those middle of the conference teams in the NFC playing like they did that night.
Who's better, the Bucs or the Pats at this point?
Better, I'll say the Pats, but you know, if the Bucs get it together, I mean, I think there's a clear talent advantage for Tampa Bay. But as we've seen that with these football teams,
they're not a well-coached team. They have zero discipline, and I have very little confidence in Arias as an NFL head coach. And that's a big deal. It's a very big deal. Do they have more talent than the Patriots? Maybe. Yeah. But they're not anywhere in the same realm of discipline and coaching ability is where the Patriots are at.
Yeah, and I think Brady's frustration was very telling in that loss to the Bears a couple of weeks ago. We saw that obviously around here, and it would happen when there were mental errors or there were things that he felt like were. It seemed like it would happen when there were things like that the inexcusable mistakes would start happening, and he swallowed his tongue for 4 weeks, but in week five he started letting guys have it.
Yeah, he's had enough. He's had some patience, and now he's had enough at this point. Final thing, as Dave Joffner joins us, our resident sports expert from Boston.com, we'll do the baseball playoffs, NLCS and ALCS, both on the brink of ending tonight. Tampa was up 3-0. Astros have won 2 in a row. The Dodgers have been fairly disappointing outside of explosive game 3. Against the Braves, they're down 3-1 to Atlanta. I think both of those series end here tonight on Friday. Your thoughts?
I think I'm really impressed by the Braves. I think they've been really good. They've been building towards this for a couple of years. I wonder what the future is going to be for LA and Dave Roberts if this ends disappointingly again. We'll see. But in the American League, it's weird. I am always one of those who doubts the Rays, and then they come out and they just figure out a way to do it. And my only question is, when you're playing 7 days in a row and the bullpen taxation that they've gone through really for the last month and the last 3 months, if you want to look at it, does that come back to bite them in a series where if they had a normal series, they might get a couple of days off. They can let their bullpen guys rest a little bit. I wonder if the pressure now that it's 3-2 builds up to the point where, they start feeling like they have to win tonight. Because if they go to game 7 and it's 7 days in a row and whatever it is, 12 out of 13 days, if that's going to be an issue.
That is Dave D'Onofrio from Boston.com. You've been listening to The Press Pass presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. That segment of the show brought to you by the Prescription Center.